You're listening to the Credit Union Pod, a podcast for credit unions to keep you informed of what's happening within the credit union movement and further afield. In episode 4, Barry Harrington and Mark Johnston from the Irish League of Credit Unions speak with Denise Hayward, CEO of Volunteer Now, and Nina Arwitz, CEO of Volunteer in Ireland, about the challenges and opportunities in volunteering for credit unions.
Delighted to say we're joined by Denise Hayward and Nina Arwitz from Volunteer Now and Volunteer Ireland for an interesting discussion in terms of volunteers and how you see volunteers. But before we get into the discussion around this, I might hand over to Denise first, if you can just explain and expand on what your organisation does.
Thanks very much. Barry, so yes, I'm Denise Hayward and I'm Chief Executive of Volunteer Now. Volunteer Now is a regional organisation in Northern Ireland that supports and encourages volunteers and volunteering. We work with organisations to help them improve their practice and how they're going about involving volunteers. And we also work with individuals who are looking for volunteering opportunities to help them find what they need. So that's us in a nutshell. We are very keen to work with credit unions across the north of Ireland to support their volunteering.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Denise. And thank you so much for giving up your time today. Nina, can I ask you a similar, can you introduce your organisation for us?
Yes, yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm very delighted to be part of this conversation. My name is Nina. I'm the CEO of Volunteer Ireland, and we are very similar to Volunteer Now in the North. We are the volunteer development organization in the Republic of Ireland. So essentially, our vision is an Ireland where volunteering thrives. And we also work both with individual volunteers and with organizations to support them in engaging volunteers. We also work with a network of 29 local volunteer centres, one in every local authority area. And many of them already, I should say, work closely with their local credit union and support their credit union in engaging volunteers. The way we support organisations is that we can help develop role descriptions. Yeah. We also have the national volunteering database called IVOL, where organisations can post roles and volunteers can search for roles. And the volunteer centres do a great job there of matching organisations that need volunteers and people who want to volunteer. And they can help credit unions as well with developing volunteer roles and advertising them and finding the right person for the role.
Excellent. Thank you both, Nina and Denise. And just in terms of, I suppose, from a credit union standpoint, you know, we rely on volunteers. And, you know, the nature and the time constraints on people, particularly post-COVID, you know, is something we're very keen on. Can you just explain maybe or expand on any trends or challenges you're seeing in recruiting volunteers for organisations?
Okay, well, I suppose I think there's similar trends actually across the piece, but in Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, we're seeing a change in people's volunteering habits post-COVID. So a number of the people who perhaps would have been quite active volunteers before COVID haven't necessarily returned to do exactly what they were doing before. It's like anything else, I suppose, when you change your habits for a wee while, it's harder to get back into that rhythm and that routine. And so we have seen a drop in volunteering in Northern Ireland. The Northern Ireland Statistic Research Agency, NISRA, track volunteering numbers. And before COVID, in fact, for a number of years before COVID, the numbers sat fairly consistently, 27-28% of the population were volunteering. And in the most recent survey, that was down to 18%. However, they have indicated in the sort of background for that survey that they think that that possibly is a bit lower than it actually might be and that it might creep back up again. However, when you look at the other data sets that we're seeing across the UK, there is a fairly substantial drop. So that number may not be too far away from where we are at. So we're still waiting with bated breath. There's new data coming out in November, and that might give us a better picture of exactly where we are, because if you can see a couple of years sitting at a particular number, you've got a bit more of a sense of it. So definitely there has been a trend to kind of slightly less volunteering, particularly from older age group and people perhaps who have health conditions who would have been asked to shield during COVID. The other thing that we're seeing is a change for more flexibility. Now, Nina and I have talked about this many times. Are we seeing this? Is it real? I do think the survey data that you're seeing for things like time well spent, which is a UK GB data, it's a big sample size, I think over 10,000 people, and it's very clearly showing a trend to volunteers looking for greater flexibility and less bureaucracy in volunteering. And that doesn't necessarily sound like good news for you in the credit union, where you're volunteering is in a very structured and regimented environment. However, I think there are still ways that you can, you know, adjust things around the edges to allow people to kind of dip their toe in the water and get to know you a bit as an organization before they maybe have to sign on the dotted line. So definitely we're living in changed times. And I think probably Nina would agree that in Southern Ireland, similar picture, maybe.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Some of it is similar and some of it is different. So the really different thing is that in the Republic of Ireland, it does not seem like we've seen a huge drop in volunteering overall. So it's really hard to find comparable data over years because, you know, depending on how the question is asked and who's asking the question and all that, it changes. But the one kind of consistent comparison we have is from something called the Irish Charities Engagement Monitor. And that's a survey of 1,000 people. And we have figures from 2017 and late 2022. 2017, 21% of Ireland people said that they volunteered. And in 2022, it was 27%. So that kind of, and that is goes against all the trends other countries are reporting internationally. Like what Denise described is, we're hearing that not just from the English-speaking world or the developed world, also developing countries, organizations we work with in Africa, in the Middle East, in South America. So that's really interesting. But within that, what's hugely changed, which is similar to what Denise described, there's been a huge increase in people wanting more flexible volunteering. So this is a trend that was happening before COVID and we think was just accelerated during COVID. Increasingly, many people don't want to sign up to volunteer 2 hours a week every Tuesday evening until they die. And more people want flexibility. People are more transient. Some might argue that they have, you know, a shorter attention span. And we're all used to, you know, using our phone to order our food off Just Eat and getting the service immediately and kind of instant gratification, that kind of thing. One could argue, one might speculate, is also affecting the way people want to volunteer. So that's one big thing. And then another big thing that we're seeing is we tend to talk about volunteering in terms of formal volunteering, which is through an organization, and informal volunteering, which is not through an organization. So it might just be helping your neighbor, which you can imagine happened a lot during COVID, helping your neighbor with the groceries or whatever it was. Or sorry, I'm Swedish. I shouldn't say groceries, messages, I've been told. that trend, we have evidence around that as well from a piece of work we commissioned during COVID with Ipsos Mori, which also looked at a sample of 1,000 people. And there again, it showed a huge increase, an overall decrease in volunteering during COVID, but we don't know if that's recovered yet because we don't have exactly the same question as now, but a huge decrease in formal volunteering and an increase in informal volunteering. And that's something I know Denise, you guys experienced as well, which is loads of people had to be stood down from the volunteering during COVID. So, for example, if you're a volunteer in a hospice, you know, they shut down all unnecessary visits to that place, to the hospice during COVID. And unless the organization was very good at keeping their volunteers involved and engaged and communicating with them and checking in on them, a lot of people they lost and they couldn't bring back in. So those kind of challenges we're seeing now. And even though in Ireland, it looks like the volunteering rate is steady, what we're hearing anecdotally from the ground from organizations is that everyone's struggling to recruit volunteers and the way people want to volunteer has changed. And I think it is a huge challenge. I think especially for the credit unions, you know, you guys depend completely. You can't exist without volunteers. And I know in terms of your demographics, volunteers with you tend to be older. And when they retire or don't want to volunteer anymore, I don't think you can rely anymore on a new generation themselves growing older and signing up to volunteer the way you might have in the past. Because like I said, the way people want to volunteer has changed. So I think if you don't address this now, then there will be a huge problem in the future, unfortunately. But like Denise said, I think there's loads of things you can do. You're not the only ones with formal roles.
So Nina,
Yeah, and I
could I don't mean to cut across, but just to come in there, Nina, obviously you and Denise, you're dealing with lots of different types of organizations, including, I presume, regulated entities like, for instance, the charitable sector and ourselves as a credit union and the responsibility, additional governance responsibilities that we have. So how do you think we might be able to expand our potential pool, bearing in mind that challenge, because it is a real challenge for us? What are your thoughts on that? From our perspective, I think, we feel in some ways being regulated presents an opportunity for people to get involved and to get experience on the board of a regulated entity in a supported fashion. And we feel that that could be an opportunity. But how any ideas around that at all? What's your thoughts?
So I wanted to just come in on that. I think for a long time, I think both north and south of the border, we have struggled to have a diverse pool of volunteers. And we have, it's often seen to be the purview of kind of, without stereotyping, white middle class, and depending on the role, men or women, because some roles are more attractive to either or other. I suppose what we are learning and what we are definitely seeing as a trend in the North is that there are large numbers of people who would never have normally stepped forward to volunteer and who, in fact, could, just what you're saying there, Mark, find that volunteering was a really good route to them, maybe learning a new skill or coming in perhaps even into a paid workforce situation. And I think we all have to work harder at widening the pool of people that are coming through to volunteering. I always think of volunteering recruiting as like a big funnel, and you start get your message out as wide as you can, and then you gradually narrow down to the people who are actually going to step forward and help. And I think at times, because I mean, how many surveys have you seen over the years that asked, what's your major recruitment tool? And word of mouth was always, always, always top of the list. Well, word of mouth means you're telling your friend who's probably the same as you or looks a bit like you or is from a similar background than you. We have to move beyond word of mouth in the old-fashioned way. And I think you can use technology to help you use word of mouth in a new way. It's like social media is a fantastic asset for recruitment of volunteers because it does let you push out beyond. And you have to be very deliberate because social media can be an echo chamber too. So you do have to really work at that. But I mean, for example, we've been doing quite a lot of work in particularly in Belfast with new migrant communities. And there's a huge pool of people there who've got massive skills and talents. Often, though, the practical things trip you up. Like they can't afford the bus fare to get to the volunteering opportunity because they're living on £8 a day. So, realistically, if you want somebody in that space to engage, you're going to need to help them to be able to do that because it's just practically not affordable to get a bus to go and volunteer if that takes all the money that you've got to live on for that day. So there's some really tangible ways of addressing things. And sometimes that lack of diversity is as a result of some of those barriers that we've inadvertently put in place in relation to volunteering. Disability is another one. Disability has often been a reason that people haven't volunteered. And often in particularly in the north, that has been to do with the benefit system, and that there was always the kind of if you want to volunteer for more than 16 hours a week, you have to ask permission. I mean, those things have changed, but even anecdotally, I still hear them being mentioned. So sometimes our structures have actually mitigated against people getting involved. But I suppose what I think Martin's right in his earlier remark, we have to start thinking differently. We have to go where the people are. So putting a poster up in your branch is not going to cut it these days. You have to be out actually building partnerships, building relationships with organizations that can open the doors to some of these. I mean, for example, in Belfast, we have an African church. I wonder whether that might be a really good place for you to think about a partnership and an outreach because it would widen your membership as well as your volunteer pool. So just some thoughts like that. It's about proactively engaging. You can't be passive in this space anymore.
Super
And
Denise, huh?
I so agree there with everything Denise is saying, and I do think you were asking there, Mark, about the fact that for the board roles it is a regulated environment, and you do have certain expectations of your board members, and that doesn't maybe lend itself to flexible volunteering. But there's so much you can do, and I'd say my kind of a few of my tips would be, first of all, I think the credit union needs to genuinely understand why you want diversity. And really believe in that. There's no point doing this as a so-called tick box exercise. But obviously, it's that diversity, it's about the future of the credit union, it's about survival, it's also about, you know, we all know there's so much evidence that a more diverse board makes better decisions. It's also about reflecting your members, your communities. And it's also just the right thing to do, to be honest. And because you are a values-led organization and you believe you have that ethical mindset, which other banks don't, it's in your ethos, I think, that it's about equality and justice and all that. So I think that's the starting point, is just to kind of really make sure that everyone's on board with that and believes in why you're doing it. Then I think, I mean, one really simple thing is, obviously, board roles aren't the only roles you have in credit unions. And as has already been touched upon, looking at engaging volunteers in other roles, whatever they may be. So they might be something completely unrelated to governance. It might be, say, communications, recruiting a young communications volunteer who could help with translating those posters you're putting, or could help with social media, or could help with reaching out to new audiences and being a kind of communicator for you. There's so many roles like that. And once you engage volunteers, once you engage one or two, even if it's not in a board role, it's not just about that particular individual potentially becoming a board member, but it's that first person who can be your spokesperson, who you can ask and say, why did you join and what made you join? Whether that's a person who's young or with a disability or from an ethnic minority, it's about then asking them, you know, what's working for you, and using that to recruit more. It's not going to happen overnight, but you start with one and then you build on that. The other thing I just wanted to say about diversity too is, like, we tend to think about diversity as ethnicity or gender or disability or maybe sometimes socioeconomics, which we obviously should think about too. Yes, those things are important, but really it's just about, it can be diversity in so many ways in terms of this perspective on your board. It doesn't have to be, you know, that stereotype of, you know, you need a gay person and an ethnic minority and a disabled person that people kind of say flippantly about diversity. It really is about genuinely thinking about having different perspectives on your board. And that doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily about targeting one of those big protected groups. It can also be about other nationalities. It can be rural and urban. It can be different life experiences, you know, all that stuff. But then in terms of recruiting, going back to that, what you can actually do, I think people these days, and it goes to that whole thing around flexibility and the way society is changing, you need to be really clear on what you're asking for people. You need to be able to explain very quickly what it is you're asking them to do. So joining a board, to many people, they don't know what that means. Yeah. But once you explain what that involves, you're going to meet this many times, you're going to review our annual report, you're going to advise on this, whatever, you're going to have a strategic discussion, you need to actually explain what it involves so people can picture themselves in it. And then you need to explain why it matters. So, you know, it's easy if you're an animal lover like me and it's a dog charity, because, you know, why it matters is you're going to save these cute puppies. But for what it matters for you, your message is really, really clear. This is about having your community having access to fair interest rates. You know, that is something people can relate to. So you need to make those messages clear about what difference it's going to make. And then, you know, sorry, you look like you want to come in there, Denise.
Yeah, no, because I was just going to agree with what you said and say it's back to the point you made a minute or two ago. I wrote it down about values driven, because the evidence shows that particularly young people these days are coming to volunteering because they align with the values of the organization. And you guys have absolute values in spades. And I think your messaging around volunteering needs to be positioned. It's not just come and help us out. It's about painting the vision of the different community that you're creating by giving people access to money, and access to money at an affordable rate. And definitely with the interest rates going through the roof, people will understand that in a way that they wouldn't have perhaps understood it 5 years ago. So I couldn't just agree with you more. Sorry if I put you off your stride there in terms of your train of thought, but it's just, you said two or three things which I just thought it was important to draw out, because I think it's easy just to think, oh, we want somebody to join the board, but that doesn't sell it. It's about explaining the difference that people are making and the impact they're making. And that's what's really driving that values-driven volunteering, particularly for younger people.
Fantastic. I think you're both saying, in terms of our proposition, that we have a very strong proposition to go out with. And effectively, it's how we get that message across. And I think the transparency piece and being open about what the commitment is is very it makes a lot of sense. Sorry, Nina, I didn't mean to cut across you there.
No, not at all. It's great to be just chatting about these things. And Denise and I talk about them often. So it's great to have this conversation again. I just wanted to say something else around flexibility and the need to be flexible. So you do, organizations need to become more flexible. I think that's the truth. If you want volunteers and you need volunteers, and if you don't become more flexible, you might struggle. Now, I completely understand that, it's hard to be flexible for some of those board roles, but flexibility doesn't necessarily mean, you let people show up whenever they want to. Like, you can be flexible within the remits of what you have. In terms of, I was looking at iVol, the volunteering database we have here, and there's loads of credit union board roles up there already, and some of them I think are really good. And maybe I would encourage any credit union to go on to iVol and look at what other credit unions are already advertising there, because the criteria are broken down really clearly. And I think it's important not to ask too much. You have some regulatory requirements that you have to ask. There's a lot of flexibility within that as well. So just as an example of what we did at Volunteer Ireland, and I'm only giving it because it actually worked, almost to my surprise. We were looking for a new board member to ha with expertise in communications, because we didn't have that. And we went out with a role, communications expertise board role, and we had one of the criteria we had was 10 years experience of communications, and we didn't find anyone. And all we did, such a simple small thing, we changed it to 5 years communications experience. And we got a young woman in her 30s who was communications manager at Twitter, and she joined our board, and she's fantastic. So, like, just even such a small thing of changing the criteria to 10 to 5 years, that makes no regulatory difference. It's just in our mind, this kind of elitism that almost suggests you need to be older in a later stage in your career. But especially if you're communications, you don't. You want somebody who knows how TikTok works, which I don't,
No.
Likewise.
But yeah, so it's flexibility doesn't have to be as flexible as, it might scare you. Just one more thing on flexibility is also that we are already flexible, I think, a lot of the time in for the volunteers we already have. So many organizations say we can't be flexible, but then you look at their existing volunteers, and sure, a credit union might have a board member who went traveling for 3 months when they got retired, and they missed a few meetings, and you're flexible around that. Or they had a hip replacement, or whatever, or some other surgery. So you're already being flexible, and I think part of it is just that changing that mental attitude to being equally flexible for the potential volunteers and new volunteers, and not just saving your flexibility for the ones you've already got in.
Yeah, can I just agree with you about that? Because I think that's actually the reality. I think people are, once you get beyond that wall of joining, there's loads of flexibility, but I think sometimes we're not good at communicating that to the outside world. And so people can kind of see us as very austere when actually that's not the case. Just before we wrap up, I want to just mention the platform that we use in Northern Ireland, which is available on the Volunteer Now website. It's called Be Collective. It's free at the entry level for any group that wants to use it. It's a really good and simple tool for advertising opportunities. So if you, as a credit union, want to advertise your volunteer opportunities, you can use Be Collective to do that. You can use it as a system for scheduling shifts, for communicating to volunteers, and it's also a great way for volunteers to record their own learning and build a social CV. Really great wee product. And any of our staff are also available for a bit of support. So just reach out through the website. The details are all on volunteernow.co.uk, and give us a wee shout, and we'll be very happy to help with that. So thanks for the opportunity to promote that.
Thanks very much, Denise. That's Nina as well. I feel we could stay chatting about this all day. It's such an interesting topic. But just one question really that comes to mind is, how important is it to link in with companies in relation to their corporate social responsibilities for staff?
I think especially for an organization like the credit unions, there's huge potential there. And a lot of companies see the corporate social responsibility element as both their staff doing good, which increasingly employees want to, but also professional growth and professional development. And if you can pitch it as that, I think it can really work. But a word of caution in my experience around working with corporates on employee volunteering. We have a huge program. There's so many multinationals in Ireland, and such a big trend on that CSR agenda. we have a huge growing corporate social responsibility program. And a couple of things I've found just kind of to be aware of, I guess, because it isn't always easy in the end. One thing is that in our experience, most companies will say that they want their employees to engage in skilled volunteering, such as joining the board of a credit union or providing advice to an organization. The reality is that employees usually don't want to do that. They want to do something practical. And the amount of times we hear kind of someone senior say, let's do skilled volunteering. And we say, sure. And then in the end, nobody will, if you're an accountant in your day job, you don't really want to be an accountant in your, you don't necessarily want to be an accountant in your volunteering. A lot of the time, what people want to do is go out, do a practical volunteering day that's impactful and positive, and then go to the pub. And it's like a team day out. And that's fine. You know, that's, so I would, you know, there's limits. It's obviously worth trying, but it doesn't always work out. And another thing is many companies increasingly give staff time off to volunteer, which is brilliant. So for example, I think LinkedIn has one of the most progressive policies. Staff can take 12 days a year to volunteer. So they get paid. They can take a whole day to volunteer 12 times a year and they'll get paid for that. But the uptake is so low and companies always come to us and say, why is nobody taking this up? And usually it's because there isn't a culture of allowing it. You know, it's like the whole limitless holidays, but nobody dares take them. And usually it's because senior leaders don't take the days. So once senior leaders start to take the days, they do. So again, there's great stuff out there and it's definitely worth considering, but there's also a bit of kind of note of caution around it.
I suppose just a final thought on all that. I completely agree with what Nina's saying. I think at the moment the trick is to be doing a bit of everything. There's no one thing I don't think that's going to solve this. You've got such a range of credit unions across the whole of the island of Ireland, and they're all going to have slightly different needs and slightly different cultures and slightly different wants. And you have to find the niche that fits for each of them. And it might be three or four things, but it is, I mean, it's great to see you actually as a network investing in the post around volunteering, because you need the effort. I suppose what I've really learned over the last year or two is that volunteering is definitely not as easy as it used to be. And the skill set around recruiting and retaining volunteers is really important for organizations. And investing in that quality experience that people come, stay with you and enjoy being with you and tell other people about it. I mean, that's a really, you can't underestimate the value of that. If somebody comes along to volunteer and they have a bad experience, you're not going to keep them, but you're not going to know, you're not going to get to any of their neighbors either. So it's investing in that quality experience for volunteering is very, really important at the moment too.
That's such a good point, Denise. And I'd made some notes before this as well to talk about, you know, what happens once a person gets in. Somebody, let's say you finally recruited somebody who brings some kind of diverse perspective to your board. And I think one really important thing that people often forget about is the social element of volunteering. So loads of people volunteer to make friends, to learn English, to meet people. And that social, it's not just about, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, making sure you have, you know, tea and coffee for the board and a chat and all that. It's about the kind of environment that new person walks into. So if it's a new person who's young, let's say, well, I don't know, I'm 43, so I don't know what young is, but younger, let's say in their 30s, it's, you know, if they're surrounded by older people who aren't engaging with that young person, who aren't chatting with that young person, who aren't kind of meeting that young person where they are, that can put people off. So I think you also need to be willing to kind of think about the social element and the culture of what you're doing. And also to accept that people work differently. You know, young people can be really annoying and they might not do things the way you've always done them. And they might not be as formal, you know, and in terms of that kind of culture around a board chairperson and how you speak and, you know, they might work very differently, or someone from, I don't know, even just people having different access, people, you know, you have to be willing to create a welcoming environment and be willing to accept a bit of maybe change and a bit of discomfort and a bit of not doing things the way you've always done them, because otherwise they're not going to stay.
Thank you so much, Nina and Denise. There's some fascinating insights there. What I've taken away really there is about the need for flexibility, clear communication, but also about the platforms that you both have, so the B Collective and the IVAL. They're something that will be very useful for credit unions. And indeed, if you're open to it, we might bring you back on for another podcast or indeed for another engagement, because I feel we could talk about this. This is so important for credit unions in terms of succession planning and the role volunteers played and have played in our credit union movement. So thank you very much. And just before we wrap up, really, if you've liked this podcast, if you want to subscribe and follow on your preferred listening platform, listening back to previous episodes, if you're not a member of a credit union, I'd encourage you to join a credit union. We are all over the island of Ireland, and there's a local credit union close to you where we provide a range of financial services, and there's also the opportunities we've discussed to volunteer. So thank you very much. Our contact details for any feedback are aore@creditunion.ie, and the links to both Volunteer Now and Volunteer Ireland will be in the programme notes. Thank you very much for your time.